Well, here at C4, we've been studying about who we are in Christ. And we ask ourselves that question, and when we read the Bible and we read what the New Testament especially has to say to us, we get a little bit different opinion than what the world is telling us. And we're going to hit a little bit of review, but today we're talking about in Christ, I am secure. And we'll hit the next one. Okay? First of all, in Christ, I am a new creation. Okay? Next of all, in Christ, I am a child of God. Third, repeat after me. In Christ, I am accepted. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are accepted. In Christ. Okay. Sometimes the world does not accept us, but Christ, through what He has done on the cross, we are accepted. Next, we see that we have been justified. Praise the Lord. Go to the next screen. Okay. Let's read this together. In Christ, I have been bought at a price and belong to God. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you are adopted. You are adopted. Some of you are like, what? No way, I'm not adopted. But Christ has come, and again, through the work on the cross, has adopted you as His son and daughter. Therefore, again, you are accepted, that you are a child of God. Okay. Also, in Christ, we studied last week, we were not only redeemed, but we are forgiven. And a lot of times when I hear that, I'm just like, praise the Lord, I am forgiven. Next. Okay. Now, after the review, we move on, and we're going to talk about today, in Christ, we are secure. Let's pray. Father God, we come here today just not to hear words, just not to sit and be bystanders, God, but we want to participate with You. That in all of life, God, we want to come and we want to walk with You. You have given us Your Holy Spirit who walks beside us. And today, God, we ask that You would send Your Spirit upon us. Because, Lord Jesus, in our own flesh, we are weak. But Your Spirit is willing. So send Your Spirit upon us, Lord, that we may hear, that we may know, that we may live for You and glorify Your name, even amidst the storms of life. In the calm or in the storms, Lord, let us praise Your name. We love You, Jesus, this day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Basically, people want to know three things. They want to know, am I accepted? Am I loved? Am I wanted? They also want to know, am I secure? Is life safe? Is my family safe? Is school safe? Third of all, people want to know they are special. There's always something in us. We love birthdays. Okay? And if any of you have not had a birthday given to you on a special day, let me know. I want to know. I want to give you a special day to let you know you are significant and God loves you. Our question today is going to be asking yourself, am I secure? Am I safe? I want you to really think about, are the things in the world that I have, that I'm trusting in, are they 100% trustworthy? Even to ask ourselves, what is 100% trustworthy? Now, when you think of the word safety, what comes to your mind? Close your eyes, think a moment. Turn to your friend. When you think of the word safety, name some things, okay? Talk to them real quickly. You got 5 seconds, go. Okay, that's enough. Now I get to share what it comes to my mind. I thought of bomb shelters, don't know why. I thought of my basement in Ohio when tornadoes come through. I thought of car seat belts or safety belts. And then I thought of the kids who ride bikes today. They put on the bike helmet, they got bike gloves, they got bike knee pads, they got bike armor. I'm like, when I rode bikes, we just jumped on it. Smashed up, stuff like that, came in crying. Okay? Almost we get to the point where, don't go ride your bike, Johnny. It's not safe. Times have changed. I think of the, when you walk into a store and you have those yellow signs, what do they say? Caution, wet floor. You don't wet the floor, but wet floor, okay? Sorry to say, I've known people that see it, walk, and boom. And guess what they do? They sue. Is that safe? Actually, I saw a little thing about Korean knife set, and on the box it said, please keep out of children. I think they misprinted that, keep away from children. Okay? Is that safe? They were being extra cautious. Okay? When we think of safety, we think of, at least for us adults, insurance. Right? I mean, in America, you can insure everything. You can probably even insure your dog. Yeah. We think of safety, we think of our savings, and then it has to be FDIC insured. And we think, then that's safe. And it came out of the reason, the 1920s, the whole problem back then. We think of our retirement funds that we're building up. We think of locks. We think of doors. These things keep us safe. Yesterday, we locked ourselves out of our house. We tried every way we could to get in the house. I was even going to go down in the crawl space, cut out a vent, and try to stick one of my kids up through the vent so he could grab the door. Well, finally called a locksmith, came in, tick, 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 30 seconds later had the door open. I felt safe. If he can get in my house in 30 seconds, I'm not feeling real safe. These things we believe keep us safe. We qualify them as safety. But really they're not. They are precautions. They are extras. They are not guarantees of safety, even though we, a lot of times we see them as that. These things are not safe. Kids fully armored up on their bicycles crash. They get hurt. People in cars with safety belts on die. Retirement funds in 2007-2008 have shown disappear quickly. These things are not safety. Really, Satan has really trapped us in a lie that temporal things bring safety. The things of this world, the things that are temporary, bring safety. And a lot of times we buy into it. Some of us buy into it a lot. Some of us less. But it's in our thinking. You know, if Jesus was to come and interview you right now, would he have evidence to say that you are trusting in more of the things of the world to bring you safety than him? A question for you. A lot of times, we fall into Satan's trap of the secular worldly cycle of security. What is it? We all do it. Okay, if I'm going to a good school, then I'll get good grades. Or the hope that I'll get into a good college. Why? So I can get a good job. Why? So I can get good money. Then I can get a good car and good house, whatever order you want to put that in. Maybe the good wife comes before that. But usually the good wife wants to see the good car and the good house, then she becomes the good wife. And we think we got it all controlled, we got it all figured out, and so then we have the good children come along. And we begin it all again, thinking that within all of that, we have secured our safety. But we all know someone where the kid has gone astray, where the wife was more interested in the good job and the good money than you. These things do not guarantee safety. Now, all of these things that we've listed down through, They're not necessarily wrong or right, good or bad. But we have to understand in our belief and who we are that this does not guarantee safety. I like what Neil Anderson says. He says the key to understanding security is having an eternal perspective, not temporal. An eternal perspective. He says insecurity is caused by depending upon temporal things, whether that be ourself, money, people, and these things we have no right or ability to control. I'd like us to talk a little about the eternal. What is eternal? That bike, that helmet, that retirement fund, that school, those grades, that one wife. What is eternal? And we find from the Word of God that is only God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and His Word that is eternal. It says that the Word of God says that the heaven and earth, pretty much gets everything, will pass away. It's only God that remains. He is the one that when He says to us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, yeah, He can back it up. It's interesting too when He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that verse is in reference to what? It's in reference to money. Today we're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, we have to establish that in Christ, I, put your name in there, my name's Kurt Tallman, I, Kurt Tallman, am secure in Christ. I like what Proverbs says, 29:25. Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Is that true of us? Do we truly trust in Him? Or is there evidence that we trust in something else more? Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. I love that song by Cutlass. You are my strong tower. You guys don't want me to sing. Psalm 27:5. For in the day of trouble, praise the Lord, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high on a rock. Not only will He hide me, but He will lift me up. It's in Christ that we have security and safety. Now the struggle or the battle with that is what we've been talking about. The world. The things that we can gain and control. Is this what brings us security? Or is it truly Christ? Are we truly trusting in the things of the world and following and running after those things? Or are we running after Jesus Christ and resting in Him? I'd like us to talk about two things. There's many things we could talk about, but two things that bring us, so we think, security. Things that we trust in. The Bible has a lot to say about both of these. First of all, is money. And so we're going to go to this great parable. It's from Luke 12:15-21. I guess the name of it is The Rich Fool. That's not really in the Bible, but you can decide whatever you want to name it. Let me read this for you. It says, someone in the crowd said to him, Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me to be judge or arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many of years. Take life easy. Drink. Eat. Drink and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. Now, what's going on here? It seems as though this man, he got trapped in the temporal, worldly ways. And he believed that that money and possessions is going to bring him safety. How many of us believe the same thing? Many times I struggle and fall into that trap. The man prepared, he invested, he constructed, all for the temporal. And when we look at verse 19, if you can see that from the back, he begins a monologue with himself. At least the NIV shows us. He says, then I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But actually, when we look at this in the Greek, we see a word that doesn't show up here. We see the word soul. Our very soul, our heart and soul, show up twice. The first of all is when it says myself. He doesn't have a monologue, he's actually having a dialogue. And the dialogue is with his soul. He says, and I'll say to my soul, and that shows up right again. Soul, instead of you, says soul, have plenty of good things. So you can imagine this guy having a dialogue with his soul. I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many good things. They're laid up for you. Soul, you just take life easy. Drink, eat, be merry, soul. What's going on here? This man is trying to control the temporal. But he's also trying to control the eternal. Trying to set up exactly what will happen with his soul. A sense of himself monologuing, dialoguing with his soul, convincing it, you are safe. You are secure. Don't worry. What's Jesus' reply to him in verse 20? What's his reply to us when we believe that the temporal things of life, that we can secure and control not only the things now, but the things of later, that we can control our very soul? He says, you fool! And what I think he's trying to say there is maybe two things. Man, don't dialogue with yourself. Don't dialogue with your soul. You need to dialogue with me. And he's also saying, you may be able to control some things of the world, but you can't control the destiny of your soul. He goes on to say in verse 20, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. And again, the NIV misses it a bit here, because Jesus addresses this very night, your life, that's supposed to be against soul. So, Jesus is directly addressing the soul issue that many times we don't even think about. Or if we do, we believe we have control over the eternal. This very night, your soul will be demanded. And when he says demanded, this word here is saying demanded back, or asked back. He's saying something is due. saying your soul is due. The only thing I could think of in comparison to this is like a library book, right? You check the library book out. Is that library book yours? Do you own it? No. The library owns it. They are in control of it. And then they say it's due. God, or Jesus here, says the same thing of God. God owns your soul. And He one day will say it is due. We are not in control. Jesus is saying that our possessions, our money, our very life need to be stored or kept, not by ourselves, but they need to be put into the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is only there that they are safe. It's a lordship issue of putting it on the altar again and saying, all I have is yours, God. You take control. That when we prepare for the eternal. That when we invest, are we investing in the eternal? That when we begin to construct, whether it be our buildings or our family or our plan of life, are we constructing for the eternal? And I would have to say for myself many times, it escapes my mind. And I begin to take control. And then God does something radical in my life, or sometimes very gentle, and puts me back on course. Part of me wants to say, what happened? A part of me wants to say, praise the Lord. He put me back on the narrow road. For eternity is a lot longer than our fleeting years here on earth. Our safety, our security, where is it at? We need to put it in Christ. You know, as soon as we let that lie enter into our soul and we begin to say to ourselves, soul, you have many things. Take it easy. Be merry. Eat and drink. You are safe, soul. We become trapped. This is what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6. We're bringing it up there. He says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Temptation, trap, ruin, destruction. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. I'd like to talk a little bit about traps. My family does a little bit of trap stuff. Anybody seen a single spring trap? Claw opens up. Show you a picture. This is a single spring trap. It opens up. It's closed. Usually if your hand's not strong enough, you use your foot, open it, and you set it. The other one, if you got a creature that's a little bit bigger, you set a double spring. More power. Okay? They're set up like that at the front of the hole where the animal's living, or the path it runs on. When it runs through, these double spring and single spring traps are focused on annihilating and killing the rodent you do not want around. When we're thinking about traps, this is the kind of thought we need to be thinking of. That when we run after the temporal, and we run after it day after day and a day, and we come out of our hole day after day, the trap is ready to be sprung, and Satan is waiting to kill us. But many of us, we don't live in the single spring or double spring trap. We live in the box trap. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. This is a little picture of a demonstration of a groundhog that got caught in a single spring trap. It got his neck. There's little Nathan holding it up. Proud Nathan. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not into telling him to kill stuff and like that, but The trap that the raccoon got caught in the garden when they were home is called a box trap. A box trap basically functions as a wire net. On each end are doors that come down. They don't tilt all the way in and out, come down so far. And as you enter, they open. I'm sorry. One opens. He goes in, it shuts. He can't push it out. He gets trapped inside, but he's still alive. This is more of a representation of what we live in the temporal world, in the things we run after. We're still alive, but we're just in this trap. And we run after these things day after day, thinking we need to catch up with the Joneses, thinking that it will keep us safe and secure, and my life is in order. And now I do not need to worry, for my soul is good. But really, we're in the trap. It was an interesting thing when I was growing up. People used to use these box traps. And this is another picture of the coon they caught. Actually, the coon's back there. They're posing with it. You can't really see him, but the coons, they're really cute. So Dad picks them up, takes them down the road about 5 miles, drops them off. This is a muskrat. A muskrat lives in water, has a really nice pelt. That's why people trap them and catch them, kill them, and they sell their pelt. They have, friends of mine when I was young used to take these box traps. They would put them in the water, and these muskrats would run through the creeks, and they would always follow a path. Very similar to us. We follow certain paths, right? And it's hard for us to get out of that path. That temporal, worldly, secular path, we begin to run in, and the trap is set. They put it down in the water, they secure it, and the muskrat will just swim in there. He can't get out the other side. He turns around to go back. He can't get out the other side. He can't get up for the air. And he suffocates, and he dies. I would say for this is even more of a representation of what we live in. That as we run after the things of the world, our money and our possessions, the things that keep us safe, we get into a trap like this. We swim for a while. We find we're trapped. We look for breath. We don't know our way out. And it begins to choke us. However much time that takes for you, I don't know. God knows. It's interesting that many times our money and our possessions we believe will guarantee us safety. But Jesus is actually saying, Paul is saying, the Bible is saying, it's actually a trap. It's a very smart one by Satan. It's interesting that the word choke or suffocate, to drown, is actually used in Matthew 13. For someone who receives the gospel of the Word of God, but the thorns grab a hold of him, and that faith in that gospel is choked out. This is what it says. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the Word of God, but the worries of his life, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. These two words are pretty straightforward. The worries of the life and the deceitfulness of wealth, how they don't go together. Not. They do. That we worry about what we need to have to be safe. It becomes a lie from Satan, and we get dragged in, and we are trapped. How many of us worry about money? Do I have enough? Am I safe? Why? Because we think, we believe, we truly believe that all of these temporal things will keep us and our family safe. But really, it's a lie. Because these things cannot 100% guarantee safety. Any of us at any time, whether we have our seatbelt on, whether our kid has the bike armor on, whether we have all of our finances stored up, could leave us at any moment. And Jesus will look at us and say, you fool, why did you put so much time into the temporal instead of investing and constructing into the eternal? And we will ask the same thing to ourselves. It's so interesting that Satan knows how to use the temporal objects which we have that are given to us from God, that are made to be used for the kingdom of God, but Satan uses them to trap us, to worry us, to choke us. It's interesting what Jesus gives advice in Matthew 6, 19 through 33. I'm just going to summarize this with some verses. I think we might have it up here. It says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Jesus' advice, pretty simple. Don't worry. Store up the eternal. Don't worry. Seek the eternal. Seek God's kingdom. A lot of times we look at this like, what? This is crazy. You trying to tell me that if we focus on the eternal and we work for that, that we're going to have enough? No, this is what Jesus is saying. And all these things will be given to you as well. We just had a couple come and visit us. They were at Myrtle Beach. They're from Michigan. Mom and Dad invited them to Myrtle Beach. I guess one of those timeshare things. They came over and they saw us. I was taking them around the house. I was taking them around the house like, man, yeah, none of this furniture, all this stuff that we have. Just we waited and trusted God to provide, and God gave us each part of these furniture. Do they look real great? No. But they function the same as the other one. God provides. He takes care of us as we focus on the eternal. Can we believe that? Do we believe that the eternal is safe? That in Christ we are secure? Two things. How much time I got? Okay. But the second part. Two things, temporal things that we believe safety in. First is money. Second is people. People. Unfortunately, the fact is, for each of us here today, and we know it, the time is ticking, that we each will die. That those we have relationships with will leave us. Truly, God has created us to be in relationships. He has called us into relationships. But the fact is that is not where our security is. Our security is still fully in Christ. When I was in Taiwan, I came from just a small farming community. I didn't know much about the big world. But when I was in Taiwan, I quickly learned that most of the people were not interested in me to be my friend, to help me out, to work with me. They were interested in me and how they could use me to benefit themselves. I found out, yeah, relationships and people are not as safe as I thought they were. In seminary, I had a wonderful friend. He would, invite you over. We would eat together. As long as I was in his realm of influence, he was this amazing friend. As soon as he stepped out of the realm that I lived in, never heard from him again. I kind of hurt a bit. Relationships disappear. I always have to contact him. In high school, had a relationship with a girl. I thought I was going to marry her. Dating for 4 years. One day I go in the parking lot, there she is in the car with another guy. What? She had been seeing another guy for numerous months. I didn't know. Always the last to know. You know how it goes. That hurt. Relationships. People. They are not fully safe. I still remember my first person to die was my grandfather. relationship was good. We saw him on a regular basis. One day he was there and another day he was not. Something was missing. As a young person, I was confused. What happened to this person? Our safety cannot be in people. It has to be in Christ. Jesus knows this more than anyone. As he's going through life, he spends 3 years with his disciples. He walks with them, eats with them, sleeps with them, teaches them, day after day, year after year. And Matthew 26 records 3 events that show that people are temporal. It says, now the betrayer Judas had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Matthew 26:56 speaks of all the disciples. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. It speaks of Peter. Not only read 2, but of 3 denials. A person says, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. Peter denied it again with an oath. I do not know the man. After a while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then Peter again called down curses from heaven upon himself and said, I do not know that man. Jesus' closest friend. He knows people, relationships. Our safety must be in Christ. A lot of us are saying, hey, yeah, other people, no way, don't trust them, not safe. But myself, yeah, I can trust myself. If that is true, then we would not sin. But it says, if we claim we have or without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The very fact is, the deeper we look within, we find only one thing. That's more of ourselves. And within that self is sin. You know, I love sports and I look at sports figures and I'm like, wow, that person was able to overcome, go above. When they look deeper within, man, they found something great. But every sports figure I know, I'm not going to name the list that I have, but just one person, Lance Armstrong. This guy is so cool. Won the Tour de France 7 times. Tour de France. Goes 21 days. Over 2,000 miles. I mean, it goes up mountains that little cars overheat on. This guy did it after having cancer. And still today he has a cancer foundation called Live Strong with all the yellow armbands. What a man. But when you look deeper inside him, you see something else. A man that had a wife, a man that had a child, another child, and a third child, and a man who left them for his career and for another woman, Sheryl Crow. Every time that when we look for ourselves, I trust in myself and who I am, we find more of ourselves and we find that we are lacking. People. Ourselves. It's not 100% trustworthy. It's not somewhere we find safety. We have to come back, brothers and sisters in Christ, that our safety is in Christ and Him alone. We were created for relationships. Where we were created and called to reach out to people and to love them. And in that, God has formed a bit of safety. But at the end of the day, we must understand that each person is temporal. They are limited. They are sinful. And so even though we love them and we care for them and we reach out to them, we must know that our only trust, our full trust, our full safety and security is in Christ Jesus alone. Brothers and sisters, we are temporal. People are temporal. Money is temporal. They will all pass away, but there's only one. There's only one who will remain that will never leave us nor forsake us. One who is 100% trustworthy. One who is 100% there and eternal. Are you in Him? Is that where your safety is? In Christ, I am secure. We're going to end with a story. The story is told of a monastery in Portugal perched up on mountains off a cliff 3,000 feet high. It's accessible only by this basket that's tied by a rope. And at the top, they would have strong men in the monastery pull this rope with the basket. This man went to visit, and he's being pulled along with another monk up in the basket 3,000 feet. And as the rope was going by on the pulley, he looked at it and was a bit afraid. He looked a bit concerned, and he looked at the other monk. He said, "Man, how often do you change this rope?" And the monk said, "Whenever it breaks." Are we not the very same that we put our hope and our trust in this rope, the things of the world, and when it goes bad, who do we blame as Christians? God. God, why did you let all of these worldly things fall apart? I was trusting in you. Oh, really? You were trusting in me, or were you trusting in them? Brothers and sisters, don't wait until the rope breaks. Don't wait until the worldly things which you trust in, which you put your security, fall apart. Come today and put your trust and your security in Christ. Let's just take some time with the Lord right now. I'm going to ask Cliff to come and play some guitar or piano. And today we do want to come and we want to meet with Jesus. We want to bow our heads right now. This is between us and the Lord. And allow Him to ask you, are you trusting more in me? Or the worldly security? Have you lost your focus on the eternal, the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, and all that He has for you? And if you've lost that focus, ask Him to help you to put your focus back on Him. Psalm 16:1 says, "Keep me safe, O God, for in You I take refuge." We thank You, Lord, that Your name is a strong tower. That when we run into it, Lord, that we are safe. God, forgive us when we continue to run to the strongholds, the castles of our life, of this world, which we think will keep us safe, that will keep our children safe. And we do not call our own children, our mother and father, our very selves, into that tower with You, Jesus. Call us, Lord. Jesus, we love You. Help us to find our way again. Help us to follow you. To put all of our hope in you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.